You're listening to the Legacy Church Podcast, recorded in Liberty Lake, Washington. For more information, jump on our website, legacychurchwa.com.
Excited about next week, excited about this new series. You know, there's something about planning and forecasting a new series, and then you're just amazed when you get to the end of that series as you're planning, like, oh, it's Christmas time. And so that's kind of a little daunting and exciting, and but it also means winter's coming and snowplows are needing to be. Did I just say snowplows, or was that my inside voice? That was the inside voice. Yeah, but we're glad you're here and excited about this, just all that God's doing. This is Labor Day weekend, and it also means the beginning of football season, as Stephen mentioned. And so some of us are excited about that as well, and just it's just good stuff. I want to talk today, in fact, just highlight a little bit of what we went through last weekend as it related to the vision of Legacy Church. We're on the precipice of a new year. We are finishing out our first year as a church. It'll be October 14th. We launched actually last year, October 15th. This year, Sunday lands on the 14th. So we're going to have a birthday celebration. Somebody help me celebrate on October 14th. Yeah. Seven of us are excited about that. It's going to be a great party, trust me. So that's October 14th. And so mark that on your calendar. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we began with this idea, this vision of rewriting futures for generations to come. And we also know that as soon as we say that, we recognize we can't change a life. We just can't do it. Only Jesus can change lives. And only Jesus can rewrite futures for generations to come. But wow, I'm excited about. So we talked a little bit about what that looked like in our service last week. And how do we do that? How do you see futures rewritten for generations to come? You create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. So that's our mission statement. So we're never stuck in a room saying, gosh, what do we do? We don't know what to do next. We've got to find ways to create opportunities for people to encounter Jesus in life-changing ways. And we'll do anything short of sin to find a way to do that, to do just that, to live arrows out, to live mission on mission with Christ. We also talked about last week, how do you know you're a part of a healthy church? You're part of a healthy church when there's movement inside of that church, that the people inside of that church are actually moving a direction. There's growth. And really four things we talked about specifically, that people are knowing God personally, to know God personally. That you see that happening. People are coming to know God, and people in relationship or in the church are getting to know Him more and more intimately. I mean, you know, we just never stop growing. I don't care. Listen, I've been a Christ follower for a long time, but it still feels brand new and fresh and still growing and still learning and still vibrant. And the more you learn, the realize the less you know, right? So it's just on that journey of knowing Him. As a church, the weekend service, the weekend gathering is where we experience that. That's our primary kind of outreach tool, is just gathering people and sharing a message and sharing worship to where they experience, people experience the life and love and message of hope. Then we talked about connecting with others relationally. So knowing God personally, connecting with others relationally. This is that stretching point where, you know what? We can't live in rows. We have to get in circles. We can't get to know one another by sitting in rows, seeing the back of each other's head, right? And it's like, oh my goodness. Oh, you're the person I met last week. I could tell by the back of your head. You don't say that. So we want to get in circles, and that's why connect groups are so important to us. I would say jump in. If you've decided legacies of what you want to be a part of, then jump into one of these connect groups, and I think you will not regret it. Then discover your design internally. Know God personally, connect with others relationally, and then discover your design internally. Why did God put me on the planet? Newsflash, it's not for your job. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. You know, it's not for your business, but there's something of eternal value that God has placed and wired you for. And what we desire to do is help people discover that. So we're putting a mechanism in the infrastructure. Who has that for two wonderful words? A mechanism in the infrastructure of Legacy Church called Growth Track. So you jump in the Growth Track. It's a four-week Growth Track kind of system that will help you discover your design. It'll not only tell you about legacy and the vision and heart and all of that, but then take you through just learning about the wiring and spiritual gifts that God's given you. So that's part of discovering your design. Then reaching your world, making a difference locally and globally. We're going to be a church that we're not going to be satisfied sitting in the building. We're not going to be satisfied having great holy huddles and then not doing any. We want to be making an impact, not only locally but globally. We believe that. Had a great kind of gathering with Convoy of Hope this week. That will be one of our strongest missions outlets as a church. Convoy of Hope, helping disaster relief and just bringing hope to the world. So just be anticipating that with us. So as I think about, reflect upon one year into this thing, I think I could label that 1 year something like this: the launch. So last year was all about the launch, right? And when you think about the launch, you think about some of the highlights of last year, it's things like this: doing the work of getting established in the community, finding a gathering place, right? Raising funds. You gotta buy microphones and speakers and make this happen. So how do you gotta think about those kinds of things? Finding out, learning the community. So Patty and I sold our home in Hayden, and we made the long western trek to Liberty Lake. And we said, you know what, we're not gonna buy a house. We're not gonna get in. We're gonna wait and just and learn the community, figure out kind of where God wants us. How many of you know that? That's something to pray about. Like, what neighbors need us, Lord? What neighborhood can we be most effective in? So anyway, so we thought, let's just get into community right away. So we're in an apartment complex, but which, by the way, we signed an extension, 1 year extension on it. Because Patty and I realized after a year in the apartments, like, I don't have time to put Scott's weed and feed on my grass. I don't have time to even think about a yard. There's not bandwidth for that. And so, in fact, we'll kind of wake up in the morning, have a cup of coffee, open the blinds to the apartment complex, and the mowers are out there. And then I'll say to Patty, "Oh dear, the mowers are here." Well, great. I have to worry about that. It feels really good. The launch, it's about praying, right? Meetings, determining who's with us. 10 and a half months in, there's still that, you know, it's kind of sorting out. It's always, it's kind of a different group, a different people that God's sending. And we go, you just don't know. It's that season. We're kind of riding this out and seeing what God is doing and who's partnering with Legacy. Learning our city, sitting in coffee shops, you know, like we do and you do between Coeur d'Alene and Post Falls, and we know the spots, and Liberty Lake and Spokane Valley, and I got a great coffee spot right across the street from Costco. There's a Starbucks, a pretty new Starbucks sitting there. I'll get back in a corner there, and it's a great study spot. Just getting in community, learning about the wiring and kind of the code of this region, and then praying some more. Honing our weekend experience has been part of the 10 and a half month journey. We sit in our meetings. We talk about this. What went right? What went wrong? How can we make this better? What was awkward? What was uncomfortable? What was missing? And we just go through all of those all of those things. And we pray some more. Our second 21 days of prayer we're in the middle of right now. Then we initiated some connection points with Serve Day and then our Summer Connect groups, which were amazing, and Legacy Kids. We talked about this last week, and then really launch is all about reconnaissance. It's all about preliminary surveying of or researching the area that we're called to, that God's called us to. And so as we look ahead towards year number two, I just began to ask the Lord the question. I just sat and thought about this message as, again, getting ready to go into our new series. Lord, what does year two look like? And before I could even write the words of year two, I felt like God needed to, like he was just saying to me, we need to be reminded of what our purpose is. So before we step into year two, why are we here? And again, reminding ourselves of the why we're here, the what it is that God has called us together to accomplish. What is the definition of the church, that word church? And you can go to Google to find answers to a lot of things, but the proper definition of the word church is not one of them. It's not. You go ahead and Google church something. You don't have to do it now. Google church or ask Siri or ask Alexa. I don't know. I didn't ask Siri or Alexa, but I asked Google. And Google says a church is a building. The church is a building used for public Christian worship. Google says it's a building where Christians meet for services. Okay. I'm glad Google said that, because it's like Google played right into my hand for the day. Because I looked at what the Bible says about church, and the Bible has, in fact, gives the Greek word ekklesia. And the ekklesia is an assembly, or it's a gathering. It's people, right? It's people. In fact, four times Paul uses this word ekklesia in the New Testament in four different sort of, not even venues, but contexts. The first one in Romans 16:5, he says, greet the church in their house. It's a small gathering of people, the ecclesia. 1 Corinthians 1:2, I'm writing to God's church, ecclesia, in Corinth. There's a city. Acts 9:31, so the church, ecclesia, throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, had peace and was being built up. The church, the people. Ephesians 5:25, Christ loved the ecclesia, the church, and gave himself up for her. The point is, ecclesia means a group of followers, a gathering of people, all the way from house to region, city to regional to worldwide, around the globe. Ecclesia, it's people, it's a gathering, not a building. So I was thinking, you know, as kids, we learned this little exercise with our hands. We put our fingers together like this. Come on, you know where I'm going with this, right? Come on, say it with me. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the door. You were bamboozled. That's wrong. That's not wrong. That's bad theology. No, here's the building. Here's the steeple. Open the door. And what? There's the church. It's church is inside there, right? So we've been duped. So we got to figure out, kind of clear some theology up in our minds. So ecclesia is sitting around you today. Ecclesia didn't start. Ecclesia didn't start until you showed up. We could have had ecclesia in a park today, right? And I would have said, good morning, church, because the church is there. But we do that. We say it, right? Hey, honey, I'm heading out. Where are you going? I'm heading over to the church. We do that. We say it, and it's what houses the church. We say that, and I don't want to get too technical. But it's more than that. It's people. So just being reminded of that, I think, is important for us of our purpose. The church is a movement of people out in community, reaching people, specifically the lost, the hurting, those who have never discovered life in Christ. So year number two, I'd like to just put a label on it, and you can expand from this if you'd like. The word harvest or the word reap, the field or reaping, gathering, the harvest. My prayer for the second year of Legacy is a harvest of the lost finding Christ. I have a son-in-law who's a farmer, legitimate, I mean farmer, in North Dakota. And it's pretty impressive what these guys do. Up in Grand Forks, North Dakota, he farms actually across the border in Minnesota. And they have this machinery, these combines, and all this other kind of pieces of machinery that a guy from L.A. is not going to tell you because I don't know what to call them, right? But they're big pieces of machinery, and they go roll over fields, and they make straight lines because they're satellite-driven, and they go down, and then they turn like this, and then they get back in line, and it just all of a sudden it locks in with satellite, and it just creates these amazing furrows. Now, there's, look at that farmer word right there. And so the machinery can do and can reap and can plant some seed and do some things. But I was reading this little article about this machinery that I thought was interesting. It says, while machines have replaced human hands for a lot of farm jobs, the harvesting of tomatoes for processing, the cutting of lettuce and spinach, the shaking of almond trees to make the nuts fall to the ground, which we're just going to leave that alone right there. Many fruit, vegetables, and nut farmers still rely heavily, get this, still rely heavily on people to plant, maintain, and harvest their crops. And I started thinking about that. You know, the church can put mechanisms in place and systems and processes in the church structure, the infrastructure, right? To make the church, to organize it into really good accounting systems and all of this. But at the end of the day, it takes people. People reaching people. Systems don't reach people. Mechanisms don't reach people. People reach people. You can't create a harvest. You can't create a movement of reaching lost people with systems and mechanisms. You got to have people. And so I think that we have to have that adjustment in our thinking as we move forward. So let me give you four words. I'm going to just throw them out to you. Four words as we think about this year and as we move forward, as we prepare for this new series that we're about to step into. I ask the Lord for just the direction we should go today. What is it? How do we prepare for what it is that God's calling us to? Here's the first word. You can write this down in your notes. The word is perspective. We need perspective or vision. John 4:35 says, you know the saying, Jesus talking here, you know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest. But I say, wake up and look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. Jesus saying, hey, you know how this, you know the drill. You're farmers, you people know how this works, right? You plant the seed, 4 months later, you go get the harvest. So, but I'm saying, what I'm telling you right now is there's an accelerated work that I'm trying to do here in reaching people. In other words, don't just slumber back after you got the seed in the ground and just kind of drift into the future. God's saying, I want to, and this is what I sense in my heart, Jesus saying to Legacy Church, for every one step you make, I'm going to give you five. For every five steps you make, I'm going to give you 15. For every 15 steps you make, I'm going to give, and it's just this multiplying effort that God's not going to sit back and say, well, okay, Legacy's still working on getting their act together over there, so let's just keep them in planting mode. No, so there's a harvest. And we're in this field, so we need to lift up our eyes. That one translation says, wake up! Because I'm accelerating something here that I don't want you to slumber in the planting process. I've sat in these different coffee shops and worked on messages because I can't sit in one office, hold up in an office very long without just going stir crazy. So I got to go out and get in a coffee shop. I'll throw the headphones on and just start working. And there are moments where I feel just the Holy Spirit nudge me. And it's kind of like this. It's like, hey, wait, Lord, I'm writing a sermon. And the Lord said, I'm working for you, Lord. And it'll be something as simple as, I don't want you to write a sermon today. I just want you to become a sermon. I want you to be the sermon. I want you to talk, engage in conversation with people around you. And just be aware. Wake up. Lift up your eyes. Don't just assume just because you're here. You know, have conversation. Get outside of yourself. See, in the day we live, people can be found clamoring for another good sermon when Jesus is really calling us to be the sermon. There's all kinds of sermons. You can listen, just Google it, Instagram it, whatever. You can find a lot of good sermons. I think Jesus is saying, lift up your eyes. I want you to become a part of this. I want you to become the sermon. And then he gives us a great example of this. One of our daughters came home from school. They attended a Christian school when they were real young, and they had a scripture memory, and we would often put those scriptures to song. And this was one of them. I won't sing it for you, but I'm always reminded of when I get to this passage. But it's a perfect example of what Jesus means when he says, I don't want you to lull yourself. I want to show you what it means to be ecclesia. I want to give you a perspective shift. Here it is. Matthew 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, watch, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had what? He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. I love when Peter and John were on their way to the temple. They were on their way to a prayer meeting. And there's this dude outside the church begging for money. Like, I'm going to call Pastor Gary about this. That's not what they said, right? They saw the guy begging for money outside. The Bible says they walked up. It was the hour of prayer. They're going to church. They didn't say, get out of my way. I'm trying to get in and worship. They stopped. The man said, begging for alms. Hey, you got some money? Peter, he stood up. He said, hey, look at us. I don't know why he said, look at us. But maybe it was what they were wearing. Maybe they didn't have the latest fashion. I don't know. But he said, look at us. Or maybe just trying to get his attention. He said, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have, we want to give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What I do have, such as I have. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. They were just being ecclesia. How many know you can be ecclesia and you don't have to be in the church? You can be outside talking to somebody begging for money and you can be ecclesia right there. It's a perspective shift that God wants us to embrace. Look at the second word. The second word, first word is perspective. Second word is preparation. Preparation. This is the work. This is the hard work. This is the labor. Paul says in Ephesians 6:13, he says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, I love this, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. One commentator writes, the Christian soldier's shoes are his readiness to announce the good news of peace. Ready to announce the good news of peace. There can be no doubt we should always be ready to bear witness to Jesus as the hope of God, as the hope of salvation. We got to be ready. People need peace. People need hope. They're not finding answers. We're seeing it over and over and over, the unprecedented suicide rate, things that are going on right now. People are without hope. People are without hope. And listen, if the ecclesia only meets on Sunday, I guarantee you most of them aren't coming into the church on Sunday looking for hope. But we're running into them. Ecclesia, the church, is running into them at your cubicle. They're in your neighborhood. In fact, you may be here today and you may feel like you're without hope. I started thinking about this. I thought, man, maybe this is your last ditch effort. Maybe you're thinking today, I'm going to stop by that church with the signs out on the street. The Bible says that Satan comes but to kill and to steal and to destroy. I want to tell you something. There's this bill of goods that I'm hearing out there, this theme that somehow people think if I can just step out of this life, it's going to get better for me. I want to say that's you got to be aware of what voice you're listening to. The enemy comes but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Jesus says, what does he say? But I've come that you might have life. Life, and that you might have it to the full. So whatever voice you're listening to, you got to listen to the message. If it's speaking about death, it's not from Jesus. Jesus is speaking a word of life. So there's people around here that are more than happy. We want to throw you a lifeline. I want to speak a word of hope to you. That God is for you, and there's life for you. So you talk to any one of us. Pull us aside today. Don't leave this place. Don't leave this place believing the lie. Don't leave this place. We got to be prepared. Feet shod, as the King James said. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Being ready. This whole idea of putting on the armor of God, it suggests preparation. There's a battle. We're in a battle. I was thinking about our home in Hayden. Whenever we were ready to have guests over, company. Honey, company's coming, right? She'd tell me, we got company Friday night. So you get home. Come on, guys. You know, I have my tools. My yard tools. I was in charge of the outside. And I'd get my weed whacker. I'd start with my weed whacker because I like my edges with the driveway and the grass. I like those edges to be tight. Anybody with me? Any guys with me on that? I'm just getting really quiet in here. Maybe I'm the only one. But I'll walk those lines and I'll get those edges tight along the grass and the sidewalk. And then I'll get my mower out and I don't go back and forth this way. I like angles. So I'll do diagonal lines, go back and forth and diagonal lines and try to keep them as straight as possible, right? So I do that and then I get out, walk up, and I'll stand in what we used to have a walkway leading up to the front door, and I'll stand there and I'll just look at it and I'll just assess what I got to do and then clean that out, blow the grass in and trim the hedge over here and get the cobwebs out, pick up the mat and blow that out. Sometimes I'd even pull out the pressure washer and get the driveway going on, get the goggles, and I'm out there and this is going to look good. And then to top it all off, some of you think this is nuts, I'd walk out on the street and I'd go down about two houses and then I'd walk back towards our house. And I'd stop, and I'd look at the line, I'd look at the yard, and I'd say, it looks good, right? And I'd go past our house, and I'd come in from the other side, because they might take the other way coming in, right? And I'll go that way. And I'll look at the lines, and I'll look at the yard. I feel good. Did the dog do something while my back was turned? I want to make sure it looks good. Why do I do that? Well, that's pride of ownership. Yeah, it's pride of ownership. But there's something more involved here. That I want us to get. It's because we value the people, the guests that are coming over. I want them to have a good experience. I want them to drive up and say, wow, okay, all right, this feels nice, right? And when they walk into the house and what Patty's got going on in there and it smells good and the food and the candles and everything, it's just ready. We're ready. So we're going to put the work in on the front end like you do when you're guessing. It's about the guests coming in. It's about the work. It's the preparation. It's the value of our guests. That's what moves us. It's the burden. It's a calling. At Legacy, what does preparation look like for us? It's growth track. It's putting in a mechanism so that we can grow people and move them. It's connect groups. It's believing that people do grow best in circles, in community. You don't do it just because you want to do it. Well, that church is doing it and that one's doing it, so let's start growth groups, I guess, or connect groups. No, because people grow that way. It's our legacy kids. We want that environment to be amazing because we believe in families. We want to reach families with young kids. We want to reach the people in this community. So proper perspective. Preparations have been made. Let me give you the third word quickly, instruction. Our marching orders. This is training. Now that I have my eyes are lifted up, I'm seeing better. I'm not just looking in my own world. I'm looking up. I'm prepared. We've done the hard work. Now it's the marching orders. Now it's walking out the instruction. Jesus gives it to us in Matthew 28. It says, therefore, go and make disciples. Would you just say that out loud with me? Go and make disciples. One more time. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. 2018 and 19, I'm excited to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, baptizing them into the family of God because they're making that step to say, yes, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. That public declaration of an inward work. Verse 20, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. A quick Greek lesson. That Greek word that Jesus uses for go, it modifies, hang on, the imperative command to make disciples. He says, go, make disciples. It adds a new dimension to that word. Go is part of the command. Go, make disciples. And what it adds to that is this. Go and make disciples. You're going to make disciples, but do it with intentionality. It adds the word, the feeling of being intentional about what we're doing. Your intention should be to make disciples. You're going to baptize them. You're going to teach them the things that I have taught you. You're going with intention. We used to see in churches, like back in the 80s, when I was really, really young, we used to see a sign. Signs that would say in these churches, as you left the parking lot, they'd have a sign and it would say, you're now entering your mission field. How many of you remember? How many of you have seen those? Like in the inside of a church, you're now entering mission. And there's truth to that. It's now we're going to go and carry out this thing that we've been learning because we're the church inside here. Now we're going to go out and become that. Patty shared with our prayer team back here in the corner today, just something that God's been burdening in her heart. And she's been sharing it with me. I'd come home, she'd say, oh, did you see that there was an ambulance and last night and right back here, an apartment complex behind us. And it was a young boy, young man. And a couple times this happened and she just goes, would share it with me. And then just the other day, she just felt like burden. And so she began to pray to God, Lord, just give me a sign that like I'm supposed to talk to them. Show me something that just is going to be you and I'm going to know, like let them do cartwheels out of their apartment and flip around twice and, you know, and do something that I'm going to know. And she said, I felt like, she didn't really say all that, but like just a prompting that she felt in her heart that the Holy Spirit was saying, I've already given you the sign. It's the burden in your heart. And so she did, walked across the grass, went up the stairs and knocked on the door. What ensued, long story short, is a meal was prepared in Jesus' name for this woman who, when she received the meal, said, you know, I've had a couple of major surgeries in my life And I've often heard about people doing things like this, but I've never experienced it before. It's just walking across the grass in Jesus' name with a meal, preparing cookies in Jesus' name, taking somebody to coffee in Jesus' name. Whatever it is, it's taking these with intentionality, go and make disciples. That's not just a pastor thing to do. It's a us thing. It's ecclesia. Let's get people going. Let me give you the last word. The last word actually has a double meaning, and so when you hear it, it's the positive of the double meaning. It's the word execution. Execution. Deployment. So if you got your perspective in place, you're lifting up your eyes, if you got good preparation, you're leaning into the work because you see the value of the guests, if you're taking the marching orders and the instruction and you're going and making disciples, then there's execution. Execution. Doing it. Going after it. It's the Monday after Sunday. Played a lot of sports growing up, baseball and basketball, and played football, and then went into college and played basketball, college basketball. I remember the coach would call timeout from time to time, and he'd look at us with a little bit of frustration, you know, pull timeout, right? We're in the huddle. He'd look at us, guys, and he'd draw something on the diagram and point it at us. He's drawing upside down, and we're all standing there. And he'd say this, run the play. I mean, run the play. He'd say it a little frustrated. Okay, coach, get out there. And we're running back and forth like knuckleheads. We're running, and then he'd yell. I could hear from the sidelines. And anybody, any of you guys that ever played sports or gals that played sports, you know what the coach's voice sounds like from the sidelines yelling, run the play. Come on, run the play. Jesus doesn't say it with that kind of frustration. But I believe the intensity of the Holy Spirit is there. He's saying, come on, church. It's time to run the play. It's time to execute. It's time to make this happen. You know, you get tickets to a great game like at the Clink and watch the Seahawks or the USC Trojans. You watch a great football game. That was for Stephen. You go to a game at a stadium. How many of you know getting seats low and up front and up close, you can see the players, and that's kind of cool, and you can sometimes hear them talking, and all that's cool. But I don't like my seats up too close. I like them up just about midway as I'm watching a football game, because now you can see the play unfold. You can see how they executed the play, right? If you're down too low, you just see a bunch of bodies, and then you don't know what happened. But if you're up just high enough, you can watch the play unfold. You can see the block that opened the play. You can see the route you can see the pressure that the quarterback got. You can see all that's going on, and you can see it executed to precision. Thanksgivings are like that. Maybe the moms specifically. I know I've watched my mom do this. I've watched Patty do this. You ladies do this, and probably in chorus with your husband. There's an execution to Thanksgiving dinner. The guests are coming at 5, so the turkey goes in at, if not the night before, sometime in the middle of the night. I just know Patty will set an alarm. And that turkey's got to go in. And then the next thing. Don't ask me what, but the next thing goes in. And then something else happens a little bit later. And then she's put something else in and on top, and then there's something else. And I'm out there lining my driveway with the weed whacker. Come on. It's amazing execution. I'm always astounded, and the guests arrive and family comes and we sit around the table and we enjoy this feast. It's time to run the play, legacy. I don't think we have the luxury of saying, well, we're just a young church. Let's just have another year of just kind of figuring things out. No. There's a harvest. And Jesus said, I don't need to accelerate this harvest. We need to begin to move outward. We need to begin to become the church. If you're in a coffee shop, guess what? Ecclesia is there at the coffee shop. If you're at work, you're at your cubicle, guess what? Ecclesia showed up at your job, at the house, on the highway. And the Holy Spirit's saying, run the play. Run the play. Run the play. Your neighbors, run the play. They're walking by again. The disciples give us a great picture of this. Acts chapter 2. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. And they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Each day the Lord is adding. Each day, when the church was running the play, when the church was executing, when the church with proper perspective and preparation and understanding the instruction and what needed to happen, there was execution of it. And daily, adding to their fellowship, those being saved. It's teaching. This is the church. This is the church. It's a great picture for us. Teaching, fellowship, hashtag hangs. Eating together, prayer, miracles. This is the level of trust and faith in God, generosity that took effect, praise and worship. Enjoying the goodwill of all the people, and each day the Lord added to their number. This is the church. This is the church. This is the church. This is a church we're believing God to just begin to weave into our hearts together as we come together. Would you bow your heads with me? I'd like to pray for us. I want to ask two questions today. First question I want to ask is a question that we want to ask every time we gather. We talk about this, we pray about this. That maybe there's one here today, maybe there's one person that came in to this place, and maybe you will find yourself in a desperate place. Maybe you found yourself without hope. And today, throughout this experience, you've sensed something more. Like God's not done writing your story, and He's got something to add to it. He wants to introduce you to His love and His grace and His hope. He wants to forgive you of sin. He wants to give you a new lease on life. And all you got to do is just receive Him into your heart. If that's you today and you've never done that, you've never just prayed a prayer of faith, I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to embarrass you, have you come forward. This is a very private decision between you and God. There will come a day when you can make it a public declaration through water baptism, but today, this moment is private between you and Jesus. So if that's you and you would say, hey, Pastor Gary, would you include me in your closing prayer? I just need the hope of Jesus today. I want to receive Him as Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you today, would you just lift up your hand, put it right back down. Hey, thank you, Figgy. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to pray for you. Anybody else? Amen. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. I want you to just pray this prayer with me. You don't have to pray it out loud, but I'm going to just help you with some words. If you lifted your hand, then just make this prayer your prayer today. Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart. I want to live for you. I know that you died for me on the cross. I know that you paid for my sins. Help me to receive that today and to live in that hope. Wash me, cleanse my life. Forgive me of all my sin, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You prayed that prayer. I want you to know something. It's just as simple as praying and inviting Jesus into your heart. And there's some next steps that you get to take. And on that card, you just have to check right there. Today, I made the decision to follow Jesus. Check that box. We want to send you some information, some steps that you can take and grow in your faith of learning what it means to follow Jesus. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward. You can take that card, everyone, and drop that in the bucket as it's passed today. If you would like additional prayer, we have people in the back every week that are just available at the end of service to pray with you. We believe that's just a powerful gift that God's given us to pray one for another. Thank you for your generosity. God's blessing legacy. We move forward. Look out, folks. I'm excited about the day, this fall season. What God's up to something, and we just want to be faithful to that. So thank you for your generosity and your gifts, your giving. Let's pray for the offering together. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. Thank you for the hope of the cross. Thank you for helping us just become the church, Lord. Show us what that means this week. Let us live it out, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.